There are many people in the world who completely ignore me. They don't ask for me, they don't seek me, they don't call on my name, they don't have faith, they don't pray, they don't expect me to do anything in their lives. These people are not interested in me, you might expect God to say, and therefore I am not interested in them. That's what you think, you don't know the God of the Bible yet.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, glad you're with us. And so, Colin, if God does not respond that way, then what does the God of the Bible say?
Well, we're coming today to one of the most wonderful truths in the Bible, in my mind and heart. If God simply waited for people to come to him, how many people would actually get there?
None of us.
Heaven would be empty if he simply passively waited to say, well, now who's going to believe? Who's going to do this? And stood back in a hands-off kind of a way. Nobody would come. The lost sheep can't find their way back to the shepherd. It has to be the good shepherd that goes and lays hold of the lost sheep and brings the lost sheep back. And in Isaiah chapter 65, which is where we've come today, there's this marvelous statement from God in which he says he reveals himself to people who are not looking for him. Mm-hmm. He reaches out to people who are not seekers. And he says, here I am, here I am. He makes himself known and he begins to work. This is our God. He always goes first. We're always responding to him.
Yeah.
Of course, we have the idea that somehow he's responding to us. That's never the case. He sent his son. He moved first. He sends his spirit. His spirit works first. And then out of that, we find that somehow we're being drawn. And every Christian knows that this is at the root of our own experience. I thought that I was seeking after God, and then I discovered that God first had been seeking after me. Well, that's the love of God towards us.
And it's an amazing truth for us to understand. So let's open our Bibles, as Pastor Colin has said, to Isaiah 65 and look a little bit more deeply at this as we begin our message, Restore People. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're returning to a series for those who may have come new over these last weeks entitled Restore My Soul, in which we're looking at the wonderful ways in which God breaks into people's lives to restore broken lives and to change broken hearts. And we've seen that in the later chapters of Isaiah, the prophet describes how it is that God actually does this. When God sets to work in a person's life, he begins by restoring faith. He restores joy. He restores repentance, which means turning away from things that offend God and turning to embrace things that honor God. He restores compassion. He restores hope. And he begins to teach us how to pray. Now, the title that we have this weekend is Restore People. And I want us to see, as you open the Bible at Isaiah 65, that there are really two groups of people, and God is equally concerned about both. If you have your Bible open at Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1, you'll see there what I'm going to call the first group, who are really secular people who do not know God. Notice what Isaiah says in verse 1. God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. So here's people who are not asking for God. I was found by those who did not seek me. Here's people who are not looking for God. To a nation that did not call on my name, so that is people who are not given to prayer, I said, God said, here am I, here am I. So God is describing here secular people, folks who have full and busy lives, but they're not particularly looking for God. They don't really have a place for God. They're not searching after him. They're not even thinking about him doing anything in their lives. They haven't been praying. To use Isaiah's words, they did not seek him, they did not ask for him, and they did not call out to him. Now, you know folks like that. I know folks like that. Folks who may respect your faith, but they're really not interested. Their lives are full. They would say, I don't have the time to seek after God, or they may say, I have no inclination, I have no interest in seeking after God. Now, maybe among us this weekend, too, that actually describes some of us. The truth is that folks come to church for different reasons. You may be here because of your parents. You may be here because of your friends. You may be here for one of a dozen different reasons. But there are many folks who gather even in church who have no real expectation that God will do anything in their lives. And that may be the truth about you. You're glad to be here, but you are not really anticipating God doing anything in your life. You've not particularly been asking or seeking or even looking for God to touch you today. Now, in Isaiah's time, back in the Old Testament, this first group could be broadly described as the Gentiles, the folks who do not know God, the secular folks. Remember, in the Old Testament, God had made himself known to Moses, and God particularly was working with one nation of people, that is the nation of Israel. The other nations, largely outside of what could be discerned from creation, did not know him. They did not have the commandments. They did not have the covenant that God made with Israel. And because the other nations, the Gentiles, did not know him, they did not seek him, they did not call on him either. So this is the first group of people, and we may easily be able to identify them today. We may identify with them, as I say, ourselves, largely secular people who don't know God. And across our country and across the world, there are millions of people who would gladly identify with that description. They would use that description of themselves, secular people who don't know or are not interested in God. Now, what do you think God might have to say to these folks? See, think about it. What would God have to say to secular folks who have no time for him, no interest in him, no faith towards him, never pray? See, you might expect that God would say to this group of people, well, there are many people in the world who completely ignore me. They don't ask for me, they don't seek me, they don't call on my name, they don't have faith, they don't pray, they don't expect me to do anything in their lives. These people are not interested in me, you might expect God to say, and therefore I am not interested in them. If that's what you think, you don't know the God of the Bible yet. Look at what the amazing God of the Bible says to secular people who don't know him and aren't interested in him. Look at what he says, verse 1. I revealed myself to those who didn't ask for me. I was found by those who didn't seek me. To the nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. Now, I want us to take in how wonderful this is and for it to lift us to worship. Because the first thing that we're learning about this amazing God of the Bible is that he is the God who seeks out people who don't know him. He reveals himself. He puts himself on the radar screen of folks who aren't even looking for him. He turns up in the lives of people who never even asked for him, and he says, here am I, to people who don't even know who he is. Now, here's what that means for us, and it's a very wonderful thing. You may not have been interested in God. That doesn't mean that God is not interested in you. You may not have reached out to God. That does not mean that God is not reaching out to you. For people who did not pray, God shows up. That's what Isaiah is saying. For folks who are not looking, they come to know him. So you may have come here today, and honestly, you were not looking for God to do anything in your life at all, but God says, you're exactly the kind of person I'm seeking. You are exactly the kind of person that I am reaching out to. You're exactly the kind of person I want to show up with and say, here I am, so that you will know me and so that you will find me. That's what God is saying here. I revealed myself, try and take it in, to those who didn't ask. I was found by those who didn't seek. To a nation that did not call on my name, it was to them that I said, here am I, here am I. Now that's the first group of people, and it gives us the first window into the heart of God. To secular people who don't know him, this is the marvelous God of the Bible who does not turn away from them, but rather turns towards and seeks, so that we who did not know him might come to know him. Not because we find him, but because he finds us. Now there's a second group of people, and please look with me at verse 2. God is speaking here through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good." Now, it's important for understanding this part of the Bible to know that the people Isaiah is referring to in verse 2 are a different group from those who are being addressed by God in verse 1. And the reason that we know that very clearly is because in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul quotes these two verses from the beginning of Isaiah chapter 65, and the Apostle Paul tells us that these two verses refer to two different groups of people. You can check this out for yourself if you want in Romans chapter 10 and verses 20 and 21, where you see this direct quote of verse 1 and verse 2 from Isaiah 65. Paul says, "Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask of me." And he relates that specifically to the Gentiles in the context there in Romans in chapter 10. But then he says specifically this. He says, concerning Israel, Isaiah says, "All day long," verse 2, "I have held out my hands to a disobedient and to an obstinate people." So on the basis of the Apostle Paul's statement in the New Testament, we know quite clearly that verse 1 is directed to the Gentiles, the secular people who do not know God. But verse 2, concerning Israel, Paul says, verse 2 is all about Israel, the religious people who claim to know God. And of course, remembering that God had made this covenant with his people Israel in the Old Testament, I think that's a good way to describe the second group of people. They are religious people who claim to know God. Now, many of us belong to this second group. I was brought up in a Christian family. Many of us were brought up with one brand of religion or another. For some of us, this was a positive experience. You look back on what you learned and you thank God for it. For others of us, honestly, it was a very negative experience. You were perhaps brought up with a form of religion in which, honestly, you did not find any real connection with God. It seemed to be essentially a burden, and it seemed to be empty. And at some point in your life, frankly, you were glad to get free from it. Now, I want you to notice what God says to religious people who claim to know him. Verse 2. "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people." This is interesting. God's not particularly impressed with his own people here. He calls them obstinate. "Who walk in ways that are not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face." You see, you read that, you think, oh, he must be talking about the secular people who don't know him, you know, the ones who provoke him to his face. But he is not speaking about the secular people who don't know him. According to the Apostle Paul, verse 2, God is speaking here about the religious people who claim to know him. Now, that is telling us something incredibly important that will be liberating for some of us today. God is telling us that religion is a mixed bag. It's a hodgepodge of good and of evil, of light and of darkness. And if you found some of it to be bad, rest assured, God has too. I think that's liberating. We live in a world in which there's a kind of secular assumption that goes on that all religion, because it must be sincere, is therefore a marvelous thing and therefore must be pleasing and honoring to God. Not if you read the God of the Bible in the Old Testament. No, according to him, what is going on among some of the religious people who claim to know him, look at the words of verse 2 with me, please, actually provokes him to his very face. So let's get this clear in our minds when we're thinking about religion. According to God himself, it is a mixed bag. Some of it honors him, but Isaiah 65 and verse 2, God himself says, some of it provokes him. And in fact, it goes even further. If you look down to verse 5 here, as God speaks to religion that is provocative to him, the end of verse 5, the Lord speaks of some religious people being smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning. That's what God thinks of some religion. Now, clearly, smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning. And it couldn't be much stronger than that, could it? There is some religion that God does not like. And that's putting it very, very mildly. There is some religion that honors God, and there is some religion that actually provokes God.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Restore People, looking at how Isaiah is identifying two types of people. When we get back to the message in just a moment, we're going to take a look at some forms of religion that are offensive to God. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Back to Isaiah 65. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
What kind of religion offends God? I want you to see that that's precisely what God is speaking about through the prophet Isaiah right here in this chapter. See, how do you know what's good and honoring to God in religion, and how do you distinguish it from what provokes him and what is bad? Well, the only way you're going to be able to do that is through the Bible. And Isaiah chapter 65 is one of the best, clearest passages, I think, to describe religion that provokes God. So if you have your Bible open still, I want to show you from this passage six forms of religion that are offensive to God, that provoke him, that are like smoke in his nostrils. Ready? Here we go. Six forms of religion that are offensive to God. Isaiah chapter 65. Number one, I'm going to call it hypocritical religion, and I'm looking at verse 2, where God speaks about obstinate people who walk in ways not good. So here are religious folks. You may have met some of them. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They claim to know God, but verse 2, they do not do what is good. And God says, just so you know, that provokes me. That offends me. Now, I've spoken to folks many times who have been offended by folks who claim to know God, who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And sometimes they speak as if they were the only ones who had ever been offended by such a thing. Listen, if you've been offended by a person who claims to know God and talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk, you agree with God on this issue and God agrees with you. He says, it offends me. It provokes me. It's like smoke in my nostrils. God is provoked by the double standard of claiming to know him and walking. Now, notice that word, by the way. Walking implies a continuity, doesn't it? Walking, following a pattern of life that is not good. That provokes me, God says. That's number one, hypocritical religion. Here's a second form of religion that is offensive to God. I've called it personalized religion. I'm still looking at verse 2, where God describes people who in their religion, he says, are following their own imaginations. Notice that phrase in verse 2. Now, following your own imaginations means you just assume that God is for whatever you're for and that he's in whatever you're in. In other words, following your own imaginations is really remaking God in your own image. It is just assuming that God is a kind of projection of your own preferences, your own prejudices, and your own desires. And God says, when people basically imagine me to be a projection of themselves, which of course is the worst idolatry, God says that offends me. It continually provokes me. Notice that word in verse 2, to my face. Here's number three. I'm going to call it ritualistic religion. Look at verse 3, where God speaks about a religion that is about offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick. Now, this is all about ritual. You might expect that God would be very impressed with people who are always offering sacrifices and always burning incense, but rituals don't change lives. And a religion that is simply about rituals is ultimately empty. And God says, that's the kind of thing that provokes me to my face, the idea that what I'm about is simply a bunch of people going through a bunch of rituals over and over and over and over and over again. That offends me, God says. Number four, I'm going to call dark religion, and it expresses itself in many forms. But I want you to notice verse 4 that pinpoints it very clearly. God speaks about those who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil. Now, there is a brand of religion that is very dark and is intensely interested in the dead and in contacting the spirits of dead people who are no longer with us. Have you noticed, by the way, just looking at the TV schedules, the dramatic upsurge of interest in darkened forms of religion that engage in various ventures that are related to trying to contact, communicate with the spirits of the dead. And in the scripture, the God of the Bible prohibits that absolutely, and it's right here in Isaiah and chapter 65 and verse 4, and God says, that whole world offends me, so don't go near it. And don't watch television about it either.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to pause the message right there. But we're looking at six forms of religion that are offensive to God. Next time, we're going to continue to see how God sorts out people who claim to know Him. Our message today is called Restore People, and it's part of a larger series called Restore My Soul. If you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, come listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. That's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We do depend on your generosity to keep this program on this station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you the Heaven Bundle. It includes the Heaven Book by Randy Alcorn, Pastor Colin, your book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? And Colin, how do you think listeners would benefit from the story of the thief on the cross?
Well, I'm laughing because I think that my book on the thief on the cross is going to look very small beside Randy Alcorn's 500-page book on heaven, which is an absolute classic. But, you know, books can be used in different ways. Yeah. And so Randy Alcorn's is a book that you'll want to have in your home and you'll go back to many, many times. You'll look up the questions that he addresses. There's over 40 of them in relation to heaven, and that's really helpful. Heaven, How I Got Here, you'll use in an entirely different way. It's a small book, very easy to read, and it tells the story of the thief on the cross in the first person. And the mission of the book, the reason for writing it, is that this story really explains grace better than any story that I know or could think of. Many people have the idea that if you're going to get into heaven, you'll do that by living a good enough life. And obviously the thief on the cross didn't do that, and he did get into heaven, and he got there by God's grace. So for anyone who needs to grasp what the grace of God is, this is a very simple story that explains that. And so this is a book that you can read and enjoy, and I hope a book that you'll think about passing on to a friend who needs to discover God's grace.
Well, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, is part of our Heaven Bundle. It also includes Randy Alcorn's book on heaven and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? Our thank you gift to you as you financially support Open the Bible this month. You can find out more, give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Religion is a mixed bag. Some of it actually provokes God. Discover why next time on Open the Bible Weekend.